Word on the street on Off the Ball.
Unfortunately, I think my word in the studio is just going to be nuance.
Nuance?
Yeah, it's kind of good. That's just my word in the studio.
Word on the street, available now on Go Loud app.
Off the Ball Daily.
Welcome along. It is Willow Catlin in for Owen on this Wednesday. It is the last day of the league phase of the Champions League. We wonder, were 100-odd games worth it when we basically know who the final eight are already ahead of tonight? All the Premier League teams, though, are in contention to avoid the first round of the playoffs if they finish in the top eight. Arsenal already have got a top two seeding, no matter what happens for them tonight. But we'll keep an eye on all the rest of the matches. We've 18 kicking off at the same time at 8 p.m. That means we've got Owen Doyle with us, a former player in the SSCR Tristy League. Cameron Hill, how are you keeping?
Not too bad. One of the busier days on the sports desk, Will.
Yeah, I think the RFU press office were kept busy from around about lunchtime today. We'll talk about who's not in Portugal and who's coming back from Portugal in a moment. But Owen, how are you keeping?
Not bad, not bad, Will.
Does this get the blood racing in the final round of the Champions League fixture?
I have preferred this new setup. And I know there's going to be loads of permutations, and if you look at the league table live tonight as the goals are going in, it's going to look a bit wild, and people will be, dark teams and clubs will be jumping mad amount of places, etc. But yeah, I was going through it, and obviously it's obviously us will have an eye on the English teams. I mean, you had a little conversation off air, like, which game we watch, because the English teams are quite comfortable. I think Napoli and Chelsea is probably the game that we should probably have on the telly here.
I think so too, because yeah. Chelsea's goal difference is a little bit precarious with the teams around them, so they need to win to be assured of a place in the last eight.
Yeah.
Napoli are fighting for their lives. They're not going to go top eight, but they want to make sure they get into the playoff round. Mm. Not been going too well for Napoli in Europe this year. See, it seems the big winner for me.
Then the bit of needle there with Conte and coming back Lukaku. And yeah. I think that's definitely the game to watch.
The old format, can't believe we're talking about formats of competitions, but the old format of the Champions League, even if you do think, right, the big eight are all going to go through here tonight, or a good combination of them, the old one did feel a bit tired, didn't it?
I think so. Obviously, like, listen, once you get to the knockout rounds, it's brilliant. I actually think it's the best competition going when it gets to the knockout round, especially the later knockout round, especially from the quarterfinals on. But yeah, I think the group stages of the last format was very, it was just dead. You know, there was not much interest in it. And I think now they kind of have to come out of the gap quick. You obviously look at, like, Arsenal, Liverpool done it last year, and I'd say the likes of Arsenal are looking at that with worry now, thinking, and you can see that they rested players last week, even though they won comfortably against them. In the San Siro against Inter Milan, they have to rest players again tonight. Like, they might as well. You know,
you're in Liverpool last year, so everyone points out they lost to PSG and they just got this incredibly unfortunate run because how far down PSG were. The reality is that, say, if Liverpool had finished second, they would have got Benfica, which would have been grand.
Yeah.
And you've a home game in the knockout stage of your top two seed all the way to the final. Mm. I think that's worth going for.
100% home advantage is huge, yeah. And it's a great little addition, like a little kind of term and condition in there that kind of makes you want to keep going all the time and try to win every single match. But I'd definitely, like, just to go back to it, like, I think it's a great decision what they did this way. Listen, I know there's the extra games and people might be a little bit annoyed about that. I'm not. Mm. I always want to have a game on the telly, something to watch. But I've enjoyed it so far.
Are you a lover of the new format, Cameron?
I'm not.
I'm
not a lover of the new format tonight, where I will probably be trying to keep an eye on six full-time scorers while they all come in at 10 o'clock. But that's just a private one. No, I am. I like it. It's not so much the performance of the big teams. Obviously, there's always there's a blockbuster fixture in whatever the games. It's the performance of teams way lower that you wouldn't have expected, that are not your standard Champions League household names, like Karabakh, who are playing tonight against Liverpool, have been amazing. Like, we were talking about them when they played Shelburne, and obviously, Karabakh from Azerbaijan, let's see how they do, and they've performed amazingly. It shows that when teams are actually exposed to a wide range of competitions and or competitors and play with these teams, that they do end up rising, that it is a tide that lifts the other boats. So I think it can only be a good thing. When you see the effect of having two League of Ireland teams in European competition and the potential for more, and where the teams will be going into European qualifiers later this year. From an Irish perspective, you must be really, really encouraged seeing that actually playing in these competitions and the efforts that UEFA have been making to include more. Like, That must be great from a League of Ireland point of view, that you can play European football and get to league phase football and make a good fist of it.
Yeah, so someone, Stephen Kenny, with this a little bit earlier on, and he was making the point that when Dundalk were going really well, they played Rosenberg one year, pushed them to the pin of their collar, but there was no drop down from the Champions League back then, so basically second round Champions League qualifiers, you were out, that was the end of your year. He was saying that if that Dundalk team had got more chances, he reckons they would have went to league phase way more often if you were dropping into the next phase of the Europa and then potentially into the conference. Like, it's a great setup, but I don't see any reason why the top two or three League of Ireland teams can't aspire to get into the league phase now. I know last year was a bit novel having two of them, but there's no reason two of them can't get into the Conference League every year.
Yeah, well, I think when I first moved back, probably 3 or 4 years ago now, I remember thinking to myself, Jesus, within the next decade we'll have two teams playing in Europe all the time, you know. I did not expect it to happen so soon. And I think obviously Shelburne getting into the Champions route, and then Shamrock Rovers just exceeding expectations, but because of the groundwork they've done over the years and getting their ranking so high up, but then to basically get that big win against Santa Clara, just all the European experience to get over the line, incredible. Incredible. And to watch the two of them going at it, like, and I know when they got there, they probably didn't go as far as everyone would have liked. But still, what an achievement for the two Irish clubs. And like, they're all looking around, you could see the likes of Derry spending very big to try to get back Shelburne, recruiting again. You think Shamrock Rovers are going to start bringing in more bodies, you'd assume. So like, they're all looking at this now and going, this is something worth fighting for.
Yeah. Sorry, the reciprocal effect of that is that, like, we'll talk about it later in the news round, but you have big fees going for the likes of Victor Ozzie and Vuna, or today Michael Noonan, and it seems like Hoffenheim have agreed 1.8 million to sign him from Shamrock Rovers. That's as a result of the European exposure, and Michael Noonan might be an isolated case considering all the records he's broken recently, but just having that exposure and having your players in a European shop window and putting it up to European teams, again, can't be a bad thing for League of Ireland sides.
Yeah, I mean, right, we'll ask you about Hibs, right? Because Elding is going to go to Hibs now, 400,000. I was asking you outside, in the context of Noonan, I know he's a little bit younger, but he goes for 2 million quid.
Yeah.
Elding, who scored 12 goals in the league last year, Young Player of the Year, goes for 400,000. Have Sligo Rovers not sold him for way too cheap?
Listen, we obviously want all these million euro players going all the time. And listen, I've no doubts Elding was on the way to getting there. But if there isn't multiple clubs coming in for you or for the player, then it's hard for the likes of Sligo to keep pushing the boat. I think 400 grand's a great fee for a community club run by fans.
Yeah,
you have to realise what they go through down there to try and raise funds, and someone slaps 400 grand in front of you. It's really hard to not accept. Now, don't get me wrong, we'd all love that a number of clubs had it came in from, but even from a Hibs point of view, not very often they pay big fees like that. You know, I know we've seen Hearts recently start, I think the first time they spent over 1 million quid in the player, obviously Celtic, Rangers, the outliers there, Aberdeen don't really do it. Hibs historically don't really buy players either. Like, they've just shipped out 400 grand for a young aspiring player coming out of our league, and he's excellent. I love the thing, he's a little bit physically more of an athlete than most players in the league. He's got a technical ability, he can play a number of positions.
Yeah,
really good out wide, really good up front, left footed, has it all to really kick on again. And by all accounts, they put in a really, really strong sell on clause, and as we've seen in the past with the likes of Gavin Bazuna, that could be the important figure here.
Will he get a chance at Hibs? Because he's a potential future Ireland under 21 international. He's still just waiting for the international clearance to go through. When that happens, I think the management with under 21 has been very clear. Jim Crawford, he wants to pick him. Does he have a chance at Hibs?
Well, they're not paying 400 grand for the player, not giving him a go. So yeah, he's absolutely getting a chance.
Okay. Rugby, loads have been happening, Cameron.
Do you want the bad news or the bad news, Will?
Yeah, it's going to be a job maybe picking what the team is going to be against France, because so many frontline players are going to be there. So tell us first of all what's happened with Hugo Keenan.
Well, he's suffered a thumb injury in training yesterday at their warm weather camp in Portugal, Ireland. So he's ruled out of next Thursday's opener away to France. He's returned home to Ireland to undergo treatment for that thumb injury. Now, separately today, the IRFU have also confirmed that Bundiaki has been dropped from the squad for disciplinary reasons. The Connacht centre has also been cited following comments he made to match officials after their 34-23 URC defeat to Leinster at Dexcom Stadium on Saturday night. Referee Owen Cross had awarded a penalty penalty against Aki late on in that game for dissent. In a statement today, the URC elaborated that Aki is alleged to have engaged with the match official team on several occasions in a manner which may be deemed to be in breach of the league's disciplinary rules relating to misconduct. The IRFU also released a statement this morning confirming that Aki had not travelled with the team to Portugal. Ulster centre Jude Postlethwaite has taken his place. In that statement, they said they do not tolerate any form of disrespect shown towards match officials and do not condone actions that fall below the standards expected of players representing Irish rugby.
So I'm sure we're going to hear more about this because the Irish Rugby Press Corps have just arrived in Portugal pretty much at the same time as the squad. They're due to media this weekend, but I would think that the IRFU will probably be speaking to some of those journalists over the next 24 to 48 hours. I watched the instant back, which is the one where you could see the talk back to the officials, which is on the URC's Twitter earlier today. But it would seem, reading through the lines of that statement, it must have continued on after that as well.
So from what I've heard, it happened quite a few times after full time. There was an instant definitely in the Dexcom Stadium that Aki was approaching the officials well after the game had finished, including potentially at a function
right
in the Dexcom Stadium. And it seems like the book has kind of been thrown at Aki as a result. This, if you think about it, it makes a lot of sense given what was at stake for Connacht and the IRFU on Saturday night, the opening of a new Dexcom Stadium. Such a great story for it to be sullied by Aki making an issue towards a match official and an Irish referee at that. It seems to have particularly stuck in the craw of union officials. When you go back, and there's precedent there with Mac Hansen last year making a point of bringing up how he felt Connacht were being unfairly treated by officials after a game against Leinster at the Aviva Stadium, and the way that the URC kind of struck back with disciplinary proceedings against Hansen. There is a concerted effort.
There was slightly
effort.
Unusual disciplinary last year as well, wasn't it? That Connacht had to be reminded of comments being made in post-match press conferences as well and all that type of thing. I wonder again, will this come up this time around?
You'd think so. There's a lot of baggage here. There are pieces today sort of analysing this incident and making the point that it's been a growing concern within Irish rugby of players chatting back to referees. I think Jack Carty definitely spoke to the referee, Owen Cross, as well on Saturday night, and there has been a lot. I think it was Caelan Dorris was pulled across, or Tadhg Byrne, in fact, was pulled across during a Champions Cup game a couple of weeks ago, saying the referee had said, listen, I have four players on your side talking to me here and telling me how to give decisions. It's become a bit of an epidemic, actually, in Irish rugby, the way that players are approaching referees. Do you remember James Ryan was told that he wouldn't be spoken to by Matt Carley when they were co-captains in a game against La Rochelle in the Champions Cup? So maybe this has just been the straw that's broken the camel's back, but it seems like it's going to be quite a heavy response, and Bundy Aki's going to pay the price. He's not in the Ireland squad.
It's a big call by the RFU too, because notwithstanding Aki's form has been a bit up and down this season, Robbie Henshaw's injured, Gary Ringrose just coming back from injury, who's not injured in the Ireland squad really at this stage, but when you're down quite a few of your frontline centres, you're telling a Lions centre that he won't be involved for the first round of the Six Nations. It's still a big call to make.
It's a huge call to make when you consider that Stuart McCloskey would definitely have been breathing down Bundy Aki's neck over getting that 12 jersey. A host of other Ulster centres might have felt aggrieved that they were only in the 15 squad compared to the squad proper. So it's a massive call, but there is definitely a sense that, I don't want to say make an example out of Aki is the approach that they're taking, but it must have been pretty bad. Like anyone, and talking from a media perspective, anyone who's reported within Irish rugby over the last while knows how difficult it can be. The IRFU and Irish rugby and the Irish men's teams particularly have had quite a close shop. That the fact that we're even hearing about this means it must have been pretty bad.
Yeah, I suppose the only thing is if the media are going to be watching your train, they realise there's no Bundy Aki out there, the story would have got out pretty quickly anyway. Mm. But were you one for lip to officials?
Not to officials.
There's obviously a lot more respect towards the officials in rugby than there would be in football.
But
wouldn't have been a big fan of referees. Now, I never took it too far. I don't think I've been booked for dissent or anything like that. It doesn't ring a bell, but I definitely would have told them how I felt a number of times over the years. Yeah.
So I'm taking from that you always knew the line.
Yeah, maybe.
You could convince the referee not to make the next decision against.
There was
your
a real. It got really bad in the lower leagues in England at one stage with players getting around the referee and making it difficult for them. So they brought in a rule that if you do that, there's going to be a 3-point deduction or something. So there was some penalty for it. But they said if one of your players is seen to be trying to get players away, that's fine. You won't get your deductions. So what used to happen was 6 or 7 lads would steam in, and the skipper would just make sure he'd be seen to be pulling one lad out and let the other 4 or 5 lads just keep giving it to the ref.
Only 2 hands.
always finding a way around. Like,
yeah, but the teams in the top of the English league used to do this a lot as well. I remember Man United had one. This is like a famous screenshot of it where David Ellery
and Sam
shouting in his face and about 9 other players around him at the same time. If you want to WhatsApp us by 0879 180 180 is the WhatsApp line. You can also leave us a comment on the YouTube as well. So that's where the Ireland rugby squad are at, down 2 key players out of the France game for very different reasons. The Premier League clubs trying to secure a place without having to play in the additional playoff round.
Yeah, and there's a scenario where they could all finish in the top 8 tonight in the Champions League, with the final round of main phase games coming up at 8 o'clock. Liverpool boss Arne Slot fully accepts the criticism coming his way after an inconsistent run of form. They can secure their place in the last 16 with a win over the aforementioned Karabakh, but with them 14 points behind league leaders Arsenal in the Premier League title race, Slot knows pressure will remain regardless.
No, I think it's going to be really difficult to quiet the outside noise with the position we are in the league. So even if we win a few games, every loss or every disappointing result will start the noise coming back again.
2 changes for Liverpool tonight. Milos Kerkez and Joe Gomez miss out. Gomez, of course, injured, while Andy Robertson and Cody Yakbo come in. Manchester City go into this evening's final game at home to Galatasaray, needing a win to avoid the playoffs. So the only Premier League side outside the top 8 ahead of tonight's games. Manager Pep Guardiola says Erling Haaland will silence his critics when he returns to goal-scoring form. He hasn't found the net in his last 5 matches. And Guardiola was in a spiky mood when asked if he's spoken to Haaland about his recent form.
I'm not good in that. I'm an overthinking manager, not my management. The new generation manager is just the videos. We are not my manager. We don't talk. I don't talk with the players since the last 3 years. So I don't talk with them.
That's Man City. Now, Owen Doyle's been doing proper journalism. He's been checking social media. Your old buddy Greg Cunningham, he's called it a day.
Yeah, officially retired today. Obviously, ex-Man City, ex-Irish international, and obviously the highlight of his career is screaming at me to chase me runners when I was playing left wing ahead of him, playing for Preston together. But obviously, Galway was his he came home and played out his last season last year with Galway. And I just wish him all the best. He's had a great career. He'd be a wonderful fella to have on here. He's got some great stories, and I don't want to say too many of them on his behalf in here, but he's a very entertaining character, and I wish him all the best.
Yeah, he would have had some interest in management. City would have been there around the Mancini time.
Some great stories about making his debut and what was expected of him in the dressing room after. It's brilliant. And Trapattoni for Ireland. So he's he's had some. And then John Caulfield.
Wow, yeah.
United,
some big hitters there. Don't steal any of these, right? You get on the WhatsApp. There's a burrito.
Yeah, I was going to say, does he like a burrito?
Yeah, we'll bring him around to Pablo's.
Yeah, we'll get you the best burrito in town. Team news ahead of the City game, Cameron.
Yeah, starman Erling Haaland returns to the side but plays alongside Omar Marmoush. So it looks like 2 up front for City this evening. Ryan Aitnouri gets a start, while Nathan Aki and Jeremy Doku also come in 4 changes there. Now, Chelsea face former boss Antonio Conte's Napoli in Italy this evening. Napoli without ex-Chelsea midfielders Kevin De Bruyne and Billy Gilmore, but Romelu Lukaku is fit enough to make the bench, while Chelsea have opted to play Reece James at centre-back in a curious tactical switch from manager Liam Rossignol/Rossignol. It opens up the possibility of the Blues having matching up with Napoli to play a back 3. Cole Palmer, meanwhile, only fit enough for the bench tonight.
You seem convinced to play Reece James centrally in Europe. So I think against Barcelona he played central midfield. He very much cut inside. I know he can play as an inverted fullback anyway, but the right side of a back 3.
He's, I'd arguably say he's their best midfielder. Just one of their best central midfielder. He's excellent. And he's excellent at everything. He's an 8 out of 10 at all aspects of the game, really, except for his injury record. Mm-hmm. That's what's let him down over the years. He's an extremely versatile player. I'd say he'll fit in there comfortably. Reads the game excellently from all different positions across it. I had a few friends played with him at Wigan when he was coming through. He went there and only got player of the season, and he played centre mid for them at the time, and they said he was outstanding. Like, just, it was too easy for him. The game is too easy for him at that level. So he's I think he's obviously he's their captain as well, isn't he, Reece James? Yeah. And he's reliable, like apart from his body, but his performances are reliable.
You've sold me on Naples tonight, so we're gonna watch that game anyway.
Yeah. Does centre half insulate him from some of those injury concerns? Like, does it make him? Is it a proverbial wrapping in cotton wool?
He's right of a back three, though, is he?
Yeah.
No, I think you're a little bit more exposed, if anything, there. Mm. You've got there's more gaps, more space you'd run into. It's actually hard to find that a really difficult position for centre backs to get right. It's actually one of them positions, and he's probably really suited for it. You don't know whether to play a full back there sometimes or an actual centre back.
Mm.
And if you're playing a centre back, you don't want a big stiff one. Like, you don't want Harry Maguire playing right side of a back three, really. You want him being the middle one, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, he might do well there.
So, the rest of the team is then. Tottenham, welcome break from the Premier League. Champions League is where it's at for results for them this year.
Yeah, in Germany to face Eintracht Frankfurt tonight. Five changes from the side that drew 2-2 with Burnley, Udogi, Archie Gray, Pape Matar-Sarr and Jad Polina among those back in tonight. Newcastle face a tough assignment away to holders PSG. Record signing of Nick Valdemarda starts up front for them tonight, while a point will be enough for Arsenal at home to Kairat Almaty of Kazakhstan to clinch top spot. The big team news from there is that Kai Havertz returns to make his first start in quite some time.
Yeah, again, I think from Arsenal's point of view, play the kids, get ready for this weekend. Elland Road is what matters after 2 points in 9 now in the Premier League, which has kind of just let their lead slip a little bit. You mentioned earlier, Michael Noonan looks like he's heading to Germany.
So Shamrock Rovers have reportedly accepted a bid from Hoffenheim for the teenage striker. The fee believed to be in the region of 1.8 million euro. They had two offers rejected Hoffenheim before this fee has apparently been agreed. Now, the 17-year-old, of course, became the youngest ever goal scorer in European club competition last season, finding the net in his debut for Rovers in their Conference League game away to Malta.
We'll bring you a bit of Michael Duffy later on in the football show, just talking about James McLean coming back into the league and what he could mean. But we shouldn't miss out on this one because, again, a famed Oireachtas committee hearing was taking place earlier today. Some very interesting evidence around Rowing Ireland, but crucially, their CEO wasn't there.
No, she wasn't in attendance today. So they were, of course, invited to Leinster House following revelations published first in the Sunday Independent around the culture in Irish Rowing's high-performance unit. Committee member Yvonne Quillen revealed the carpenter had contacted her by phone last night in advance of the hearing, which she described as inappropriate and deeply uncomfortable. Committee chair Alan Kelly described the communication as unprecedented.
Interesting. And a very last story before we finish up. Patrick Reed, he's leaving LIV Golf.
Yep, the 2018 Masters winner will spend the rest of this year playing on the DP World Tour before rejoining the PGA Tour in 2027. He follows Brooks Koepka in departing the Saudi-funded project. Before he can rejoin the PGA Tour, he has a number of outstanding fines, I believe, he has to pay.
And I assume he's not getting the same deal because he hadn't won a major since 2023. So the sweetheart deal that was there for Brooks Koepka is not going to be there for him.
Mm, no, Patrick Reed, maybe not quite as popular as Brooks Koepka in terms of his return.
He's doing it for the love of the game. He's going back to the PGA Tour from LIV. All right, that is the news round. Cameron's going to stick with us throughout the night for updates here on News Talk and all the sporting action. He's got 18 Champions League games to watch after 8 o'clock.
Off the ball, daily.
Sleep better and save big right now at Sleep Outfitters. Save up to $800 store-wide. Get buy one, get one free deals, plus a free adjustable base on select mattresses. With 0% interest financing, free delivery, and our exclusive lifetime price guarantee, you can't miss this. Only at Sleep Outfitters.